You will never be able to lift up others until you first learn how to get underneath them. And that's what Jesus modeled for us. That's what he calls us to model for each other. Because really, when we choose to die to our own selfish ambition and serve someone else, it is transformative, not only for them, but for us. Hey everybody, Pastor Josh Blevins here, and we have another episode of The Shepherd's Voice as we seek to tune in to the voice of Christ amid the chaotic mess and noise of the culture. And today I want to talk to you about the essential quality of servanthood within the Christian life and leadership. You know, J. Oswald Sanders, in his famous and timeless book on Christian leadership called Spiritual Leadership, refers to this as the master's master principle, servant leadership. In fact, he writes here of this principle that Christ laid out for us of becoming the servant of all. He said, Jesus knew that the idea of a leader as loving servant of all would not appeal to most people. Securing our own creature comforts is a much more common mission, but servant in his requirement for those who want to lead in his kingdom. That is the requirement of Jesus. And it's not a mere requirement that a king handed down to his subjects. It is a requirement that the king demonstrated to his subjects by becoming the servant of all. And we know that Jesus said of his own mission, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to lay his life down as a ransom for many. And so we have a king who showed us the way into his kingdom, and it really is contrary to what many of us maybe hope we're signing up for when we choose to follow Jesus, and especially in today's culture where entitlement seems to be the attitude of the day. What can I get from God? What do I deserve because of my accomplishments or because of my work? We are realizing that Jesus presents us a countercultural principle to self-achievement, self-love, self-seeking, and that is to come up underneath other people to lift them up, just as Jesus did for us. And there's a scripture in Luke 17. I mean, there's a lot of passages on this subject of servanthood. There's a passage in Luke chapter 17 that I think is often split into two principles, when in reality, they are connected at the hip, and they're one. And I want to show you the connection between these two principles. So in Luke chapter 17, Jesus is talking to his disciples, and his disciples make a statement. And I want you to notice that it is a statement, it's not a question. In verse 5, we read, the apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. So I just want you to make that note that they didn't ask the Lord, will you increase our faith? They made a demand. They made a statement, Lord, increase our faith. Almost like they were commanding Jesus to do something for them. And we want to keep that in mind. And so the Lord said, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. And which of you, having a servant plowing or tending sheep, will say to him when he has come in from the field, come at once and sit down to eat? But will he rather not say to him, prepare something for my supper and gird yourself and serve me until I have eaten and drunk, and afterward you will eat and drink? Does he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I think not. So likewise, when you have done all the things which you are commanded, say, we are unprofitable servants, and we have done what was our duty to do. And so the passage begins with a statement from the disciples about faith. Jesus responds to them about the power of true faith, but then it's almost like Jesus changes subjects. He launches into this analogy of a master and servants, and the servants coming in from their work. And how ironic would it be if the servants came in and looked at the master and said, hey, master, can you make us some food? Master, can you sit us at the table? The master would say, no, that's not your placement. In the hierarchy of authority, you wouldn't expect a servant to come in and make demands of the master. You would expect the servant to come in and make sure the master is served, and then take what the master wants to give to them. This is the principle of servanthood and following a master. And so really, how do these two things relate to each other? Well, here we have the disciples almost, we could say, making a demand of the master, increase our faith. Now, when I think about the demand itself, I think many of us might look at this initially and say, well, what is so bad about that? Wouldn't that be a good thing for all of us to ask the Lord? You know, much like the man who understood that he lacked a certain amount of faith, and he said, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief, right? We want increased faith. God wants us to have increased faith. But in this particular event, that's really not what is happening in this story. Think about the demand for greater faith. Let me walk you through a series of questions. When the disciples thought about the result of faith, what would have come to their minds? Well, what have they been observing Jesus do? Jesus is healing the sick. He's doing miracles of multiplying food. He's even raising the dead. Everywhere he goes, something supernatural and miraculous happens that the Bible tells us was drawing people in droves, in crowds, to see and to experience and to receive from the power of Jesus. And so if you are a disciple and you see faith as the road or the path to power, then a demand, Lord, increase our faith, might actually be a request. Lord, increase my visibility. Lord, increase my authority. Lord, increase my power. Increase my ability to do something that other people will see and be drawn to. And that kind of changes the frame of what we're talking about here. The picture of what we're drawing here, because now we're seeing that maybe the request for faith was more perhaps about the desire for authority. Well, Josh, that's something, you know, how can you kind of make that accusation against the apostles? I don't have to. The Bible does, because at this point in time, we read continually how the disciples were arguing among themselves. Do you know the answer? About what? About who was going to be the greatest. James and John sent their mom to Jesus to try to advocate for their positions of authority in his kingdom. Who's going to sit at the right? Who's going to sit at the left? We get the indication that even at the Last Supper, there was some discussion going on about who was going to be the greatest in the kingdom. And so there was constant division, frustration, and contention among the disciples about their status. And so it is not a far stretch to say that here, especially how Jesus responds, the disciples are probably seeing faith as a path to greatness, faith as a path to power, faith as a path to reputation and visibility. Lord, we want to do the same things you do so that we can receive the same recognition you receive, that other people can know that we have this power. Just a short side note here. I don't think it's a stretch to say that there is still that mentality today among many Christians, among even whole movements within the labeled church, that sees faith as a pathway to power, faith as a pathway to achieving a supernatural result that can benefit me, or that can give me a greater sense of reputation or visibility or authority over others. And Jesus really hits the brakes, and he declares to them this whole analogy about a servant and a master, bringing them back to the recognition that at the end of the day, their goal should not be, how can I become great? How can I have more power? How can I have more authority and visibility? No, their goal should be to say, did I serve the master? Did I please the master? Did I know my rightful place in the hierarchy of authority between myself and the master? Of course, who is God? And Jesus is declaring something about himself. This is why at the Last Supper, when he washed the feet of the disciples, which was the greatest act of service ever known in humanity, because it was the one who had all authority to command. And yet here he is releasing all of that authority to serve. And so there's never been a greater picture of service than the Creator washing feet in the form of a slave. But what did he tell his disciples? Is a servant above? Any servant above their master? And of course, the answer to that question is no. So if the greatest master performed the greatest service, who are we who are not masters anyway? All we are servants. Who are we to make this declaration that we want to become great? And we want more power, and we want more visibility, and we want more. No, the goal is to utilize faith to serve the master. And here's what I think Jesus is getting at here when he says, at the end of the day, when you have done all the things which you were commanded, we say we are unprofitable servants. We have done what was our duty to do. In other words, there's no entitlement. There's no, I deserve something from God because I did A, B, and C. It is the fulfillment and the satisfaction that we have appropriately handled our stewardship from the master. And what this really tells me as far as a principle goes is that faith, that increased faith is safest in the hands of those who know their place before the master. Increased faith is safe in the hands of those who know their place between them and the master, that they are the servant, that he is the master. And I believe that when we adopt that mentality and that heart, God then is seeking to increase our faith. The Lord resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, and what? He will exalt you in due time. Do you notice the tension between the two directions? Jesus does the exalting, I do the humbling. As a pastor, I'm frequently reminded of this principle, convicted and challenged by this principle, that if God chooses to give me any sort of spiritual authority, if God chooses to use me to effectively minister his gospel or teach his word or help the church grow and expand, help people grow in their faith, if the Lord chooses to use me or lift me up in that way, if he puts me in front of people or he gives me some sort of platform to proclaim the gospel. While Jesus is doing the exalting, what is required of me is that I continue to do the humbling. I continue to move in the opposite direction. Because what can happen is if God lifts someone up and they decide my heart and my mentality is going to go up with that, well, that's a setup for a great fall. Pride comes before the fall; it always has, and God is not willing to deal with that pride in positions that are exalted. And so, there's this idea that God is willing to grant greater faith and willing to lift up and exalt and utilize the vessel that has already made that intention and that intentionality to stay in a place of humility before the master, recognizing their level of authority, again, under that hierarchy of a servant-master relationship. And so practically, I think this plays out in our lives. And it doesn't just apply to those who are in a place of leadership, although it certainly has certain applications for that. But God has called us all to be servants. Paul is very explicitly clear that we are to look out for the interests of others above our own selves. In Philippians, he talks about that we are to have the mind of Christ, and then he goes to describe what that mind of Christ is, that he was did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. He was fully in the image and the full expression of God, and yet in that place, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death on the cross, veiling himself in human flesh, taking that lowest position of a servant. And let that same mind be in you. I think it can be said well that you will never be able to lift up others until you first learn how to get underneath them. And that's what Jesus modeled for us. That's what he calls us to model for each other. Because really, when we choose to die to our own selfish ambition, and serve someone else, it is transformative, not only for them, but for us. Try to think about a moment when you've been around someone that you really respect, admire, honor, holds a place of authority or position in your life. Think about a moment where they've done something out of character of what the world might say should be indicative of that place of authority. They've served you. They've looked out for your interests. They did something that you thought, man, I don't even know if I would do that for someone else. And here is this person above me bending down to be beneath me. How has that impacted you? It probably is something that impacted you and will continue to impact you, be one of those memories that you have for the rest of your life. It's probably something that you've said, man, if I could be like that kind of blessing to others, you know, that is something worth striving for. And so it is a good thing for us to just be reminded, I think, that in a world that is full of self-pursuits and pleasures all around us, and even the mentality being fed to us by our culture that this life is somehow centered around what we can achieve and accomplish and gain for ourselves, to be called back to this remembrance that Jesus calls us to ascend the ladder by descending the ladder, that we are always looking for opportunity, even in positions of authority, to come under people, to lift them up, to help them and enable them to become everything that God has called them and designed them to be. And in doing so, we will send out a radical message to those around us about the nature of the God that we serve. That God isn't a harsh taskmaster that's looking to squash his subjects under the weight of his never-ending, unbearable requirements. No, God is a God who modeled service, who comes underneath us and lifts us up to be with him seated in the heavenly places. And when we see each other in that way, we see God in that way, we recognize what a privilege and honor, even a safety, it is for us to serve such a good father, such a kind master, who is always looking out for the best interest of those who serve him. And so let those words and those concepts marinate in your heart and in your mind. And perhaps even today, you might ask yourself, how can I just get up underneath someone else? How can I open my eyes to the people around me today and model Jesus to them by lifting them up? God bless you guys. Look forward to our next time together.